What's up, everybody? This is Eric LeGrand, owner of LeGrand Coffee House, and you're now listening to the Chop Sports Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on Monday, June the 7th. 2021. What an absolutely atrocious sports weekend for at least our fanhoods. Gooch, Sturch and Gooch here. Production Pete stuck in traffic, probably turned around at this point, right? I mean, we sent him home.
I didn't send him home, but I didn't exactly ask him to specify whether he was gonna come or not.
Okay.
We'll just see if Pete rolls in or not. If he does, we'll have some content possibly for
what
you
other
later,
job? What other job in the world can you just be like, look, it's traffic, it's Monday, I ain't doing this.
Probably the jobs that you don't get paid to do. Those are the jobs. Yeah.
That mother effer gets lunch every single
day. That's true.
We buy him lunch every single day.
And he eats like a fucking tape.
He has a tapeworm. Yes, 100%. There's something wrong with production Pete's stomach lining. But anyway, we'll get into the sports. We'll get into the weekend that was. We'll touch on the fight that we didn't even talk about because there was no, I guess there was no publicity.
Point? No, there was no point.
No, also no point, but there was no, I didn't think there was enough hype because if I don't know when a fight is, and me and you were so in tune in the fight game, like, I was like, oh, but then I texted you. I was like, oh, by the way, the Paul fight is on. The Paul Mayweather fight's on Sunday. We didn't talk about it at all last week. And it came and went. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the trade that went down over the weekend. Julio Jones sent to the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about the Yankees and the Mets. And, of course, we'll touch on the NBA playoffs as the Nets get set for Game 2 tonight. Hardenless. So we'll talk about that like it matters. Yeah. So anyway, we'll start with the atrocious. Nobody seems to be giving it any love, and that's the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight. It came and went. It was exactly what he expected. It was like, what are your takeaways from this fight? I know you touched on the preview. You previewed it on Chop Heads MMA, which drops tonight. How did you react to the fight itself? Because I know you watched it. First of all, you didn't pay for it, right?
No. Okay. No. Scoop. Right. My boy Scoop. Scoop. Esbo with the, scoop. Yeah, with the unsolicited.
Scoop with the scoop.
With the unsolicited private link, we'll call it.
He's like, this one works. Now this one works. And I was just like, look, man, whatever. I want
to
see it.
Shout out to Scoop on getting me the link. But I mean, I guess Logan Paul looked better than I expected based on he didn't get knocked out. I thought he would get knocked out with a body shot, honestly. I just thought
there was a couple that chopped him down the size, and you felt it.
I think that Floyd didn't take it serious, or it wasn't actually trying to take his head off. There was not much output. It was just boring overall. There was a shred of, you know, I almost felt good for Logan Paul after the fight. It was just annoying to see Jake Paul talking shit the entire time. Like, he makes it hard to cheer for Logan to do anything because Jake is in his shadow fucking being a jerk off.
Do you think that he feels that too? Like, I have all this notoriety. I could be a very likable person. You know, I can be.
Yeah.
But my brother makes it impossible.
But I also think that there was some buildup at play here. I could see Floyd being a guy that Jake Paul fights down the line just because, you know, you see that Floyd didn't really put the pressure on him. They could almost come out with an actual exhibition. Like, Floyd didn't really try and knock him out. I can't imagine that he did. If he did try, then I'm completely blown away and surprised by the fact that he didn't.
I don't think he did. And we saw a couple power punches land midsection, couple to the head. Right before we recorded, I saw a video that our boy Jorge showed us, and I was like, is he holding him up?
No. And by the way, going into it, Logan Paul looked terrified. It was almost like he didn't know how to act. He was complete. He actually said to the camera, like, yo, this shit is crazy.
Right.
Because it really is. Like, you got to imagine that. Like, at the end of the day, YouTuber, he's a regular guy. He's not a fighter by any stretch. He's not used
That's
to
like
having
you
a win.
And me.
He's not used
That's
to having,
like you and me. If we catch steam at Chop Sports and all of a sudden, like, you're like, you know what? I really, really don't like, I don't know, name a UFC fighter. I want to go out there and fight him.
Bro, you could even talk about, like, there was, like, that small beef with the DJVW guys, that fake thing. Like, that even gave me anxiety. The idea that, like, potentially I was going to have to, like, have a grappling match with somebody, you know, even though I felt confident.
Well,
still,
he's down to one nut, so.
Yeah, still, like, shout out to Dave.
Shout out to Dave, my man. Love you, bro.
But yeah, I imagine that being against a Floyd Mayweather. Got to give credit where it's due. I don't care, fake exhibition. This, he did make the walk, and he laced him up, and he boxed Floyd, and he went 8 rounds. He kind of did better than Connor. As much as I know that Floyd took Connor way more serious, and there was a lot at stake there.
Do you think that's the next play as far as like shit talking ability? Like, I did better than Connor did.
I mean, I could imagine that.
We're how many years removed though from that fight?
I could imagine that will come out. Not as many as you'd think. I mean, three years?
Still, I mean, look, Floyd's old. You know, he's getting older. He's definitely a little slower, but the boy, you know, I get out of bed every morning and I'm just like, oh, my back is killing me. You know, just from just overall being old. This guy, the amount of times with he bobs and weaves is like my back was
hurt. With a career in combat sports, you want to say, okay, he's a freak of nature. He's a freak athlete, and he's obviously one of the best athletes to ever do it.
Right.
But there is that wear and tear, and Father Time is undefeated. I'm just glad it wasn't Logan Paul giving Floyd a knockout, or because that would have just been, I don't know if the earth could have handled
you
it.
Know,
I don't know if society could have handled it. It might have just...
I don't know how many times Mauro Ranallo, by the way, so good to hear him back on the sticks, because, again, me being the commentary buff that I am, I love Mauro Ranallo. But anyway, and his hair, my God, what the hell is he doing?
Well,
but
I got to say, he was great, but the other two, Jesus and, oh my
terrible,
God.
Terrible, awful. It was like listening
it was
to...
Even, it was even
so bad.
It was worse during the Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson fight. Did you watch that?
I saw him get knocked out. I did not.
He didn't
actually,
get knocked out. He didn't get knocked out. He got knocked down. He actually looked good.
True story. I started to watch that as I started to text my friends and said, hey, finally sitting down, relaxing. I get an emergency. Hey, the basement's flooding. So that's what I dealt with last night during the Ochocinco fight. So I missed that. That sucked.
Ochocinco looked good for 3 rounds, and he got cracked with a right. Got dropped. He got the full experience. He got the box. How? He got to feel the cardio, and it was different.
Yeah,
and,
but how funny is it the fact that he not only did he get knocked out.
He didn't get knocked out. Stop
knocked
saying
down.
That.
Knocked yes, down hard. Yes. Like, cold cocked.
But you got to give him credit because he got up. That, right. There's something to be said for
but
that.
But isn't it just a funny visual to not only see him get knocked down like that and lose his fight, but then he was in the stands for the main event. It was can't miss. Got to get out there. Let me freshen up real quick.
Gotta love,
and sit next to our boys. Yeah. All the smoke. Those guys.
Oh, my God. I saw them looking like fucking pussies out there, too. But you know who didn't look like a pussy? Chad fucking Johnson, man. Yeah. I got to give credit when you go out there and you get knocked. You know, the guy that he fought, I think, is a bare-knuckle boxer. So it's not like he has no background. He went out there and he put it all on the line. And you saw... You know, they were throwing. They were definitely trying to take each other's heads off. So I got to give credit, man. I respect and I really admire people that step outside the box and challenge themselves, which is not to get to MMA, but since we're talking combat sports, which is why I don't give Khabib, I don't give GSP the GOAT status, because I'd prefer to see someone like Izzy go up, challenge at a higher weight, and lose because you're putting it
you're
on
just
the
challenging
line.
Yourself. You know, like, absolutely.
You're going to do something that
some
nobody's
done. Some
could
say the same thing about Mayweather, McGregor.
Yeah, and
I'm all over the place.
And I'm not trying to compare Chad Ochocinco's move to a boxing exhibition as to like Adesanya going up and fighting at a, you know, in a mixed martial arts championship bout. But you get the idea. These guys go out and they live their life to the fullest, and I admire that.
Yeah. No, look, for everybody who's saying it was an embarrassment or, you know, the sport is dead, hey, guys, listen. Boxing only has a few stars left. I understand that, like, guys like my brother and his crew of friends, they watch every just like you do with MMA, they watch every single boxing card. So there's guys that they know deep on the cards that are like, oh, this is the next up and comer, like the blah 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 blah. But those mainstream boxing fans only have a few good stars left. So for this to happen the way it happened, I didn't look at it like, oh, what an embarrassment. I was just like, okay, you know, Logan isn't, you know, a total piece of shit like his brother. You know, he's out there. He's humble. You know, did he have to come out there with the Charizard card? No, he didn't have to come out there. Wow. Well, we're graced, as we are recording and talking, put that mic on, actually. Tommy D from the MMA. Was this planned?
No,
this was planned.
It wasn't planned. And I didn't release the podcast because I was going to do a segment with us.
And now, look who it is.
Fight, and Tommy D strolls in.
This is revolutionary, this actually.
I'm on my way back from Woodbridge. And I'm like, you know, let me go pop by the studio to see if they finally fixed the air condition and see what you guys are doing. And I come in here and I hear somebody say that last night wasn't an embarrassment.
Here we go.
No, last night was an embarrassment. I thought it was an embarrassment
as a whole.
It wasn't an embarrassment. I'm all for people making money. The fact that there was no actual judge and no winner and people
that's
were
the
paying,
garbage part.
That's the garbage
so
part.
So why are we seeing but I'm odds? Not knock- why were there odds
because
for
because there
the
was
fight?
A potential for a knockout. The only way that okay. or the ref to stop
you know
stop
there was a prop
it.
Bet about touching gloves too, right? You
yeah,
hear about
they
that
touched,
crap?
By the way.
Yeah, I saw.
Which was also like how you could have a prop bet between something that easy to fix. It makes no sense to me. Like
that's oh, like the length of the national
like, yo,
anthem
you guys know
the
there's
Super Bowl.
A prop bet. It's like, okay, I'm going to bet $25 billion that
they touch gloves.
They're not going to touch gloves, and we just won't. So, like, we, you know, like, so right. then I'll split
How
it.
How is that a thing? You're telling me they didn't call each other? Like, hey, man, just so you know, prop bet, we need
so
to make extra money.
But, Tommy, why do you think it's trash?
Yeah, because you went because hard you're just a hater. Everybody online last night.
Because it was just stupid. First of all, if anybody thinks that, if people think that Floyd wasn't carrying that whole thing, you don't know the sport. Floyd carried him throughout those 8 rounds because he could have ended it
well,
any time.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. It was like, you know, I feel like Floyd kind of just didn't yeah. really want to knock him out. He treated it as an exhibition. You can't really make the case that Connor did, he did that Logan Paul did better than Connor against
well,
Floyd.
Well, that's what some people are trying to
yeah,
allude
but,
to.
Yeah, and that's
which
my
is,
point.
Which is hysterical because when Floyd wanted to turn it on against Connor, he did it and then he ended it.
Because you
which
know what, though? There was an actual build to that. There was an actual beef. I felt like Floyd and Connor did not like each other, so you could
oh,
turn that
even,
on.
No, well, even that, they agreed to not like each other yeah. and make a lot of money, and they still kind of keep the
but
beef
that was
online going.
Way
but
way better
but
than
those
this
two,
fight.
Those two are fucking cheersing after
well,
that fight.
Proper 12,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, you know?
This wasn't real. Like, you know, you, this
was this WWE-esque right here?
Come on, man. You would know better than anybody.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just trying.
I'm glad I popped in at this time. I mean, holy shit.
What? Yeah, and that, like, I swear to Christ, I swear on everything holy that this guy literally just popped in here and just like kind of peeked in. I was like,
I
oh,
I
Pete made
smelled
it.
Something
I literally
terrible.
Said Pete made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Pete, and then I saw a fucking Ginzo walk in.
Well, I actually got into it with a professional fighter last night. This guy, Estevan Payan. He's been through like 17 organizations. Abysmal record.
Is WSOF one of them?
Probably.
Had to be.
His stance is if you think that the Paul brothers are not athletic or they're not real fighters, you're out of your mind. And my response to him was, so you're telling me all that it takes is for somebody to go up to a professional fighter, have a camera, get paid for it. At that point, they're a real fighter. I said, then I'm going to go to any gym that I could find. Pick a fight with a fighter. Somebody's going to hand me a dollar to get the shit kicked out of me, and now I'm a professional fighter. That's the way some of these guys are looking at it. And it's
I would
very,
say
very
Logan would be a little bit more professional
think,
quote than Jake.
Think
Jake,
that
Jake has literally fought nobody.
I think you're just getting like too worked up about what people are calling it. Who gives a fuck? It was a thing for people to make money and dumb people to spend money. I didn't spend money. I still watched it thanks to my boy Scoop. We'll give him another shout out. Yeah. But it is what it is. It's not. It wasn't a pro bout. They came out and said it. They released the odds. They released the rules like a couple days before because they didn't want people to be able to shit on it all month. You know,
how many times did Mauro Ranallo say, "And this does not count towards their professional
yeah,
records"? Like
yeah,
he must have said that 3-4 times throughout the fight.
I felt bad for him having to sit there through that.
Yeah, he felt also bad for he him also making, got paid.
He
man.
Probably got paid as much as the fucking anybody but that. Floyd for that. Honestly.
Oh, man. I don't
anyway,
know. In any event.
We can't spend 3 hours talking
no,
about
we can't.
Because just because Tommy walked in and has some
hey,
deep-rooted
hey,
hatred.
I'm glad I popped by.
I'm glad you popped in, too.
I just wanted to say hi to you guys.
Hi, guy.
And, you know, I missed the place.
Yeah, well, yeah, hey, listen, the air's on. We're back in business. they paid the bills and all that good stuff, and they fixed everything. So thanks for stopping by, dude.
All
we
right,
appreciate
guys.
It. All right. So
you can sit there and Google things for us.
Yeah,
if we need,
you can be,
if we
the,
need,
you can be production
I'm
Pete.
I'm technically still working.
Oh, all right.
I was going to come here and bust
Should we your, pretend that it's like after hours because
well,
then you're in trouble?
I was going to come here and bust your guys' chops and say that they were evacuating the building for a gas leak. I didn't realize that you were in the middle of a show.
Yeah, well, we had to prep a little longer this morning because we had to move all our shit back from Suite 3.
Yeah, because we were in there last night we're for Jersey Boys Podcast and for Chop Heads MMA because we could not, you know, this guy's was leaking his hair dye out and everything like that.
Yeah,
so
it was bad. I actually dropped like 4 pounds last.
Good
night.
For you, me too, man. I'm feeling a little slimmer today. Not gonna lie.
All right, well, thank you guys for the time, and I'll see you later.
And honestly,
yeah, man.
I'm gonna edit this. I'm gonna edit this part of this segment and edit to the Chop Heads MMA because that's what I was gonna do. Like I was saying before, I was gonna have me and Dave talk about it. And then just chop it and literally chop it into our episode.
I like that, huh? Good
and do
words.
A little, you know, teaser saying, okay, I know that I don't have to get what is it, the pretty boy tattoo on my fucking small on my back?
Yeah, you got lucky. Well,
can we learn proper posting etiquette, please?
Why?
Because the way you wrote that said Dave Sergio, Chris Gucci said that. So basically, I was lumped into that. So I'm also getting the pretty boy tattoo. I got my boy Craig was like, "I'll pay for it." I'm like, "Well, no. I'm not in on this. I'm not involved in any tattoo. I don't have a tattoo. Well, because let alone pretty boy
Facebook
on my ass."
Messed with their stuff where you can't put a comma next to somebody when you tag them. So it
just everybody gets lumped in.
Yeah,
how do you like that?
Everybody gets lumped
good
in.
Good old Facebook. Gotta
but
love
I bet
it.
You he was sweating the end of that first round when Logan was throwing those little baby haymakers.
At no point was
chopping
I
down the tree.
At no point was I sweating during that fight.
It would have been great for you to get that pretty boy tattoo.
Maybe I'll get one anyway. I've been thinking about it.
You should. Why the hell not? I don't have a tattoo. I'm a petrified of needles.
All right. Anyway, go fuck yourself, Tommy. We got to talk about Julio.
We're moving on to Julio Jones. Julio. Tommy D, my man, thank you so much.
All right, I'll see you
for
guys
dropping
later.
By. Don't
I'll
let the door hit you on the way out. Actually, definitely close it nice and softly.
Warren Brumell of Keyport Law has been practicing for over 35 years and is here to help you in your bankruptcy matters. Bankruptcy is a specialized area of law that requires expertise and experience, and Warren brings both. Keyport Law has handled over 10,000 bankruptcy cases. They will make the process simple and provide easy, affordable payment plans. Warren will get creditors off your back, stop the annoying phone calls, and stop the creditors from contacting your neighbors and former employers. Listeners of Chop Sports will get the first interview free. Go to www.keyportlaw.com and fill out the new client intake form, and they will contact you directly. This firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for relief under the bankruptcy code.
We move on to a significant trade that went down over the weekend in the NFL, and we're talking about Julio Jones coming back and basically saying he was out of there a couple weeks ago. Got that nice.
He came out and said that he did not know he was on TV.
Uh-huh. There you go. So now hopefully Uncle Shannon gets locked up for that. But listen, right off the bat, how do you feel? Do you feel like the Falcons, because I know I do, the Falcons got basically nothing for Julio Jones. They got $15 million in cap space is what I'm reading. But that's really it, man.
That's
second
it.
Round pick. Like, second round picks can turn into gems. Don't get me wrong. And they have. And I've seen it. And, you know, we're both fans of teams that have turned later picks into studs. Right. But like, come on. This is Julio Jones. I feel like the package was a first round in my head. A first rounder was going to go
when
somewhere.
When I see trades like this, it bothers me on a couple levels. One, I don't think that Atlanta got as much as they should have for Julio. And then the second level is where, why didn't my team just give a little bit more than that garbage offer that fucking
now,
Tennessee
does this,
gave?
Does this make you mad again that they're not helping
it
Aaron
does,
Rodgers?
It doesn't make me mad because like I'm not really a proponent of trading for a receiver.
Okay.
But I thought that they would have to give up maybe a first to get him, and I was like, that would suck.
But think about it. Do you think every team is looking at, because like, you know every team's interested once you hear about Julio Jones being on the market, are there teams out there saying, like, wait a minute. Like, yeah. They got him for a second
like
and a
when
fourth.
When you see a DeSean Hopkins.
Who?
Did I say his name? I always say fucking. I always
DeAndre know. Hopkins.
DeAndre okay. Hopkins.
Talking about DeSean Jackson last night, so maybe that was a.
So the Hopkins guy, he goes for a second rounder, but he's at least on the right side of 30,
right.
And he's entering the prime of his career at that point. Julio, he's been missing time year after year, so I understand like that's probably on a scale, you know, what you're going to get for an aging receiver, but there's been team that just, how do you not do it when you're a one piece away, and like
now
the
look,
whole narrative is that you don't give your quarterback enough help. And
right. Let's look at both teams now. The Atlanta Falcons. Are they screwed? I mean, you got Calvin Ridley, promising young kid, but he was billed as a number two. Now you automatically get booped at number one, right? You draft Kyle Pitts. Is he going to move the receiver right away? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do offensively? Matt Ryan is on the wrong side of a lot of like. He's
Ridley did really well in the games that Calvin was missed
as
last
a, but yeah, all right, fine.
You know, so we see a
and they
honestly,
got some young kids.
That's
I get
the way
it.
The league works, bro. You know, you're a Dallas fan. I'm not going to make you talk about this because I know you've probably talked about it at length before. The Amari Cooper is about to go. He's not the talent that Julio Jones is, but you're going to have to see these younger guys. CeeDee Lamb is going to have to step up into that role, possibly as early as mid-season this year.
I think
year,
he will.
If not earlier. You know, it might be week two, he might be the guy. And that's going to free up not free up, but it's going to give the idea that Amari Cooper's you know, available for trade or et cetera. Because
you want, honestly, that $20 million contract,
no. But he's pretty much a lame duck. He's gonna be gone after this year.
I would assume,
unless
so.
He restructures and takes a big pay cut.
Big pay cut, or just plays out of his mind. You know what I mean? And just like, wow, we need this.
Honestly,
guy.
Honestly, even if he plays out of his mind, all that would probably do would be more of an incentive for Dallas to be able to possibly get a package
him out. Back, yeah. For yeah, him. I could see it. I could definitely see it. Because, look, Michael Gallup's contract runs out at the end of this year. They got to think about re-signing him longer term. But this ain't about the Cowboys. Now, when you look at the Titans, have they kind of just, like, put the flag in the ground saying, all right, Chiefs, I see your offense. Look at ours now. Because King Henry is the best running back in football right now because he's pound for pound the toughest running back to bring down. And then you have a guy like A.J. Brown, who, in my mind, is a top five receiver. Now you take the pressure off of him by adding a Julio Jones. Is Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden just this big marquee quarterback to have if you're a fantasy football guy? Because he's got this talent around him now. Are the Titans, poor Jaguars, they draft the future quarterback, they get Tim Tebow, all the hype, and then the Titans are like, eat shit, we're going to take this division
brother,
out.
I saw
and the
meme.
Colts are so good.
I saw the meme where it was all the Titans, and it was like all this just to beat this, and
your
it was a picture of Tebow.
Today,
amazing, amazing.
Amazing,
but,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Tennessee, do they still have no defense? I think that they're decent.
Their defense
sometimes
is middle of the pack.
But they haven't been able to cover. From what I understand, that's been their Achilles heel, at least when it comes down to crunch time. Mm. They're probably still not going to be able to cover the Chiefs. Now they have a little more firepower. I just don't know, man. You look at Derrick Henry, and I don't want to predict things, and I'm not going to predict an injury, but when you see the workload that a guy like him has gotten.
Talked about that yesterday in my other podcast.
You know, yeah. over a couple seasons in a row, I think he's, if not led the league, he was very, very close
in
to
touches.
Leading the league in touches.
Yeah.
At least carries. So, do you foresee a breakdown? I don't know. He's a fucking monster. So, maybe not. If there's one guy that you see, he has like that AP in him where he's just like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Stand the test of time. But even AP was a shell of himself after a few of those years. So we'll see. Tannehill is another one where you got to look at him and you're like,
Julio Jones saying, I want to go to a team with a strong arm quarterback. And he goes to Tennessee. I'm like,
But you see what I'm saying? You look at Tannehill like that and he kind of raises the eyebrow. You raise your eyebrow like, oh, you know. He's the big arm. But look at Tannehill's numbers
right,
up against any quarterback over
right.
a two-year stretch, and they're fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, he's had his moments where he didn't pull through, but you could say that about any quarterback that gets pressured in a game or his defense sucks. It is what it is, you know. He does have a lot of help, though. So
yeah, so look, the Tennessee Titans are in a very highly competitive division.
And I think that they have a really good head coach, as much as I fucking hate him.
He comes from that Belichick tree, you know what I mean? So, look, I mean, I'll never forget when he did all those penalties.
Not a shout-out, but he's a bad tipper, too. He's come in. My brother was bartending
Vrabel?
Somewhere, and Vrabel left him like a $6 tip on a
$9
tip.
Yeah, before he was head coach?
This was when he was a Patriot.
Oh, so he's so making he's more.
He was a scumbag, even more of a scumbag because
what
he played for
is
the
is he
Patriots.
Jersey guy?
I could care less.
He seems like a Jersey guy. He's got that Jersey guy build. But
I couldn't care less.
That's always misconstrued.
It's couldn't care
couldn't
less.
Couldn't care less, right? Because yeah. When you say you could care less.
That means you care.
It means you care.
A little
see,
bit.
See, those are the things. These are the little nuggets that you really need. So, again, massive blockbuster quote trade. There's a lot more stuff to cover as the week goes long. Will we see Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Will we see, like, just certain things that really are going to start to come to light? Because, look. Before you know it, it's June 7th. We're sitting here
today.
Mini camp is here. Training camp is coming up in a month. So things are in motion, and teams are starting to solidify. And also, let's talk about how good my marketing skills are. How fast did our Chop Sports Fantasy Football League fill up?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pumped.
It has nothing to do with the NFL's marketing at all.
Nothing.
It's Dave's Chop
Just
Sports
Dave,
marketing.
My Chop Sports market. Listen to this, the league structure on how it is. There's 32 teams, 16 teams in each conference, quote, air quotes, conference, which are two completely separate leagues. You got to win your league to get to the Super Bowl. Once you win the Super Bowl, now I know what you're saying. How many pools of players? Two separate leagues. First of all, 16-team leagues are nearly impossible. You really have to know what the frig you're doing to do good in a 16-team league. You have to hit hard on those first two picks. Because those guys are going to carry your team. Because by the time you get to the third round, there's 35 guys that are gone. You know what I mean? So Definitely going to be interesting. I'm very excited about it. Win your league, get to the Super Bowl, win that. Now you're like, well, they'll have the same players. Well, when you play DraftKings and FanDuel, everybody has the same players. You have to find that one.
There's ways. And I'm very innovative. So when we actually sit down and do this, I'll probably come up with a bunch of creative ways to get payouts going. Yeah. And when it comes to it, we might just keep the season straight up. And then to win your Super Bowl, maybe I was thinking in week 16. I don't know how they're going to do it because of the buys this year. And the
I was going to start the playoffs a week earlier.
Yeah, so we'll see.
We'll see how
that plays out. When
kinks once to
the,
work out.
The league structure is going to look different. So when you're setting up a commissioner page, and now that there's an 18th week, I have no idea how it's going to be. So this is new territory for me. I'm actually excited about that to see. But I foresee it being a fucking problem in fantasy football this year where the bye weeks are fucked up and there's a buy into week 14. That's a problem. So
it is a problem.
You know, we're going to have to figure out a way where we could structure the playoffs. And this is a fantasy football wide problem. This is not just.
But also, could we talk about real quick, besides our league, how easily we're going to take a former sponsor, friend of the show, Battle Rattle Woodwork. Scott invited both of us to be in his keeper league, and now that
the deck is stacked against us. In
absolutely,
that
and I
we're
love
an expansion
that.
Team, but I am a fucking fantasy football warlord.
Yes, as you seen on the
heard.
Shop.
Yeah, if you have not heard, I do not do bad in fantasy leagues.
So Scott, you're on notice.
Pride
brother.
In that.
I do want to give a shout out to whoever's hosting that bar. Basement looks phenomenal. I can't wait for the draft. But anyway. One more thing to touch on, and it's the thing that's been burning me all weekend, and that's the Yankees and the Mets. Hear me out, Gooch. I know you're going to be like, what the hell is it? Like, what did he take this morning before the gym? Is he okay? Is he all right? Is he well? As it stands right now on June the 7th, 2021, I would rather be the Mets than the Yankees. I know it sounds ridiculous, but their division seems a lot more winnable. They're playing baseball the way you're supposed to play baseball, chipping away at these teams. I said that the New York Mets were going to go into this weekend and they were in for a world of hurting to play the Padres. They split that series,
now,
bro.
I understand.
I'm like, whoa.
I can't even fathom what you're saying right now.
I know.
Based off of this.
Brutal.
You just chose the wrong words, Dave. You'd rather be the Mets than the Yankees. I know that you probably don't drink coffee. Maybe you should have a cup of coffee because you could have said that a little bit different.
All right, how am I supposed to say it?
You could have been like, the Mets are in a better position to win a bum division than the Yankees are in position to win a really tough division, and that I agree with. But on no day, on no earth, on no planet, I mean.
Tell me what.
Would I rather be the Mets than I would rather be
right
the Yankees?
Right now, as I'm saying, constructed right now, the Mets are winning games with a C-League roster, like a triple-A roster, double-A roster. When they get their pieces back and rolling, bro, DeGrom is untouchable, so that's every fifth day you're guaranteed to win.
You're not going to get an argument out of me saying that the Mets are in a better position right now than the Yankees are in.
All right,
I wouldn't say it that way. So I'm giving you shit about that.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But
you don't have to convince me of your
Yankees,
points. I agree with your points.
The Yankees weekend was abysmal. You cannot get swept at home by the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, you know when
that's a nasty taste in my mouth right now.
You know when Sunday night baseball at the end of the game, it's the ninth inning, and we had a really good chance to walk that game.
Absolutely
off
did.
They got a brutal call.
That was a bad one.
It was a brutal call. But when you're looking back and like your missed opportunities are squandered and you're blaming the umps and things like that, and you see the frustration boiling over with the Yankees. I actually like to see the chippiness in the 10th inning yesterday because they were fucking furious. The game stopped. I don't know if you watched the end of that
Boone
game.
Yeah, Boone came out, walked to, like, second base.
So, like, the Yankees need a little fire. I just don't know what it's going to do to like, make them be able to hit the 3-2 pitch with a man on second with two outs in the fucking late innings. You know,
all right, look. See, this is where I'll allude this to the Cowboys. I know this is not a good comparison. But the Cowboys, and you know what? I'll allude it to the Packers too. Because how many times have you said that a certain player that nobody's heard of is great? You know what I mean? Like the Cowboys have cornerbacks last year that I was like, he's good. He's real good. He's real good. And then he would get torched. And I'm like, okay, he stinks. Are we coming to that realization that some of these players...
Sanchez is just not good.
Well, right. So That's where I was going with it. Are we coming to the realization?
Frazier, as much as he played well last week, he's
just hits
not
a walk-off home run. Everybody's a hero now.
Gleyber is maybe not as good as people thought he was going to be, but Gleyber is still a really good player. It's just that the expectations as Yankee fans and the media blows these guys up to be the next big thing all the time. You know, Gleyber is a solid player. He just might not be the fucking star of the league like we anticipated when he played his ass off in his rookie season. It's just but not everybody progresses the way you expect. When you see baseball players, even the all-time greats, you look at A-Rod, his best seasons were when he was like 20, in my opinion, when he was batting 350 and stealing 40 bags, hitting 40 home runs. Like, that to me is the best. You know, you kind of lose that, and you expect when you see a young player that good that he's always going to get better. Mike Trout's second season was no better than this, you know, no worse than his last season. It's right. Just consistency is what you get out of these guys. There's no career years. It's just they're all career years.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Gleyber might never play as good as he did in his rookie of the year season.
Well, that's what I'm sure. That's what I'm alluding to.
Well, he did play better 2 years ago.
I'm worried that some of the guys that we have shown all this praise for, and I'm even talking to you, Aaron Judge.
Well, Judge is
I know
doing
Judge
right.
is playing a good ball, like average-wise, fine. But what I'm saying is, last night I saw something. He was on first base. The ball's hitting the center field. He's bolting it. And a hit and run. Actually, it was a hit and run call. He's bolting it to second base. Guy catches it in center field. He's got to bolt back. And then he slides head first. He gets up, and he's wincing. This is the kind of shit that you can't have. As good as pop of the bat that this guy has and the power that he possesses, Aaron Judge might not be the guy to have long term.
Well,
big tree fall hard, bro.
You're gonna see real soon when these contract talks start and to see what
it's
the Yankees
come
actually
up soon,
think of him.
Right?
Because yeah, it's definitely rapidly approaching. And that's I've been saying this for a while. I'm interested to see how they approach Aaron Judge. Because he was touted as the next Yankee captain, and that was way too soon on that. And I love Aaron Judge.
I bought the goddamn jersey.
I absolutely love Aaron Judge.
I'm not talking shit.
I mean, but there's glaring holes in his swing because he strikes out a ton. He does have good plate discipline. I want Aaron Judge to be a Yankee for life. I hope he does well. But I don't think that he's going to get that $300 million contract that everybody thought he was going to get, and I hope he doesn't.
There's another guy we decided to pay last year who was playing not well, DJ LeMahieu. Another guy. You're like, wait a minute. What the hell is going on here? We just paid him all that money to stay after having a winter.
And that fucking error. I don't know. You can't really call it an error. It was a tough play. I feel like it was the right fielder's ball.
We ain't pros. We make real bad plays on the softball field. You know what I mean? But like, first of all, that's Frazier's ball.
Yeah.
It's easier to catch a ball coming in than it is going out. So that's Frazier needs to call him off. But Frazier's so inexperienced that he's not going to call off a DJ LeMahieu on that play. And he should have. He should have. I'm just sitting here on a Monday. The Yankees don't even play tonight. Thank God they don't play tonight. They've never needed a break more than they do today. And I know that we talked about, you know, this is so up and down with the Yankees right now. We're like, oh, you know, they're back. They just beat up on the fucking White Sox.
I'm clinging. I need some excitement. So when the Yankees win and they win exciting, you know, we're like, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the spark we need. But it just hasn't been.
They've gotten swept at home twice in the last 10 days. That's where I'll leave it. That team is in trouble. All that pitching. And before we wrap this up, I will touch on one thing because I'm tired of it. And I'm talking about Chop Sports in general, too. Stop posting about spin rate. Stop posting that Gerrit Cole is a cheater. Stop. I'm talking Chris Carlin on ESPN, bro, coming out saying, hey, his spin rate was significantly wrong.
We got a teaser for you guys tomorrow because I kind of think that Cole did cheat. And I don't know if he's still cheating as a Yankee, but I'm pretty sure he did at least last season. And we'll talk about that tomorrow because I think he might have. I just don't.
But I'm so tired. Like, the conversation is over. We get it, Mets fans. We understand that Jacob DeGrom is the second coming of Christ, according to you guys. And he might very well be because he's that damn good. And he's better than Gerrit Cole. I get it.
Let's not forget where the fuck Gerrit Cole came from.
Understood that. Totally get it. They come from a line
he's
of
He's a Yankee
stummers.
Now. He's a Yankee now. I got
so
his
you
back.
Support
I support him.
Right.
I want him to win. But I call it like I see it. And I think Gerrit Cole's, when he grabs his hat, his finger sticks to it a little bit.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, yeah. We'll touch on that tomorrow because we will preview the next Yankee series. But for all you guys posting about spin rate and stuff. Stop acting like you know everything. Just because you went on a Google search on what spin rate is, even is. Stop. Just stop, bro. Just stop accusing people of cheating. Stop accusing people of just having one bad game. What? I guess we forgot that a pitcher can have a shit game. That happens. I'm sorry. That happens. You're a major leaguer. It happens. You're not perfect. Jacob DeGrom gave up a double the other day to Tatis.
We were watching that game with Gerrit Cole, and he was just like, his body language is off, and then he was going up to Boone. Do you think he was going up to Boone and saying, man, you know, do you think I could get that sticky stuff? Because I just don't feel right.
Scratching his neck?
Got any more of that sticky stuff?
Oh, my God. But anyway, with that being said, a couple things as we close. The new podcasts that are coming this week. We got on Wednesday, we're dropping the first ever Chart Choppers with Alan Austin. Very excited about that. We did a couple shows. We recorded them, put them in the can. The first one, the first topic is going to be top 10 sports, fictional sports characters in movies. And we had a ball doing it. So definitely check those guys out or him out. Also on Thursday, we're going to drop the I'm Your Football Team. Now, if you're not familiar with this, you probably aren't. Go look up Keith Ernst, I'm You podcast. I do forewarn you that it is going to be our edgiest program that we have. And I told him, Keith, take the gloves off, do your thing. And he's going to do that. And if you don't like it, don't listen. If you do like it, you're going to get a kick out of this guy because he's absolutely hilarious.
I fucking love it.
Right. His I'm You podcast. I'm You is a term and a thing that you guys have to really kind of grasp. You know, like, it's very hard to explain. Just go listen to their podcast first. Get yourself a preview for I'm Your Football Team. Calls will be made by Keith Ernst. Go check those guys out. And, of course, Jimmy Palumbo is back in studio today. He's going to be recording and be released tomorrow on what I'm going to start calling Comedy Tuesdays because it's Palumbo and it's Matt Arise. Both back-to-back shows are released. Squeaky Bump Time. They got a lot to talk about. The U.S. soccer team actually won a game last night.
Yeah, we got every single restaurant in the country having like this inner war between the back of the house and the front of the house. All the fucking cooks
it's
are going,
the cooks versus the server. Away.
Que paso away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the team does play well. The Squeaky, I can't talk soccer. Squeaky Bump Time are those guys.
Shout out to Amando. I have free rein on, you know, saying those things.
Are you like
I have
a, part Mexican?
Mi cuñado is Mexican. So that is my brother-in-law is Mexican.
Oh, well, then there you go. We're allowed to do it. Sweet. Free rein on the Mexicans. Yeah. No, but
I converted to Mexican for the jokes, ladies and gentlemen. That's a Seinfeld thing.
So, yeah, I remember you were actually talking about that episode the other day. So those shows are coming up. Also, I'm missing one. Chop Heads MMA will drop tonight. So you'll probably hear us first, then Chop Heads.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun editing that. I don't know. Yeah, we'll incorporate it. I might have to record a little more for
you'll,
it.
You'll figure it all out. Yeah. The Nets, we haven't talked about them because, again, we'll talk about them more tomorrow as game two comes and goes. They are James Harden-less. I don't think it matters at this point. They'll probably put up their points. I see the Bucks taking this one.
When I said I wanted someone to get hurt, I was talking about KD, gods, basketball gods.
But
so.
Can we also talk about real quick, did you see when he got hurt? Does anybody want to talk about that? No, nobody wants to talk. No, nobody saw. Oh, by the way, Pete's in the house. He's beating the traffic. He's dealing with the Tiki Monday Jersey Shore traffic. But
oh, wow, he really right. is.
Yeah, so here's my thing. Everybody go Google it. James Harden sprints in pregame and slams himself against the post underneath just to get himself hyped. That's when he did it. He did it in pregame. I will not be convinced otherwise. That little reject decided to go hurt himself in pregame.
Nice pumping the brakes on whatever you're about right? to say. I don't know.
You like that? Not going to do that one. Yankees and Mets off tonight. Nuggets, Suns get going tonight. Who do you like?
Suns.
Like the Suns in game one to keep the momentum. And how about my guy, my boy, Ice, Trey Young, taking down Philadelphia in game one. And you know who I wholeheartedly blame for the Philadelphia 76ers loss? Triple H, who decided to come out with his DX music and just get everybody pumped up. And now Joel Embiid was spent, and then they lost. So Trey Young drops 35. They win game one. That'll be exciting. NHL fans, look, I know Gooch doesn't like hockey, but that Islanders and Bruins series is phenomenal. Game five is tonight. I'm excited about it. Why am I excited about it? Because we got the big O, who's Adamus Davidus on Facebook. You've probably seen what he said. He said he has no friends because he's...
I actually tried to send him a link, and it wouldn't let me.
And that is actually my former tag team partner in pro wrestling. That guy is a juggernaut. He's known as the big O. He's a friggin' ox.
And I don't care about the hockey, but I do care about that Barstool betting.
Oh, they're so good.
Bro, that one Islanders fan guy in the room with hundreds of Bruins fans. He's like, fuck you. He fucked off everybody. He was like, bro, suck my dick.
He was yelling. Bro, it was amazing. He was yelling at everybody. The best part was he was still reacting on empty net goals at the end. Like, it was over already, and he's still getting back up on his chair, on his bar stool, and he's like, you know, just MFing people, crotch chopping. Oh, God, that's why that series is legendary. The Canadians look to sweep the Jets.
I just love to see Boston
people
getting fucked.
Right. And you know what? I'm calling it now, and I know I talk shit about the Yankees today, and I'm sure they'll bounce back and play Yankee baseball eventually, but we need to be the voice of the Yankees here. Because right now, Barstool is obviously killing the game in sports media, but they're all from Boston. They love the Red Sox. They love the Bruins. We need to rebel.
We need to take out John Boy.
You need to take... Well, John Boy, yeah, he's trying, but I'm saying, like, we need to, I don't know, come together as one to take down... Not take down Barstool, but at least show our colors a little bit more. Show our pinstripes, have you. So, with that being said, I don't even know if I should give you credit for this, but for Sturge and Gooch... And Production Pete, who showed up after Tommy D, by the way, we had a special guest just pop in the studio. I know you missed out on all that shit. For the Chop Sports Podcast, we will see you guys tomorrow.
You guys are waiting for my
He's got nothing.
Nothing.